He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
When God said, because of the sins of Manasseh, I'm going to judge the nation. The sins of Manasseh were compared to this filth. They would give their children to Molech, burn them alive. God says, what are you doing? This hasn't even entered my thoughts, but because of your giving your children to the gods of Molech, my judgment is going to fall upon you. What makes us think we are any different? Because what I'm trying to do is get the church to break.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, God's Sovereignty is My Sanity. In this explosive new sermon, Pastor Shane explains how this difficult season may finally break the church, causing humility to a way too proud and comfortable church. If any nation has any hope of rediscovering its moral compass, it will begin with a revived church fearlessly proclaiming the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Another reminder that this one-way truth proclamation will also come at a high price. This is a must-hear, powerful message proclaiming God's sovereignty over all. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
When God tells us to do something, it's always beneficial. Now, the moral laws, though, the moral laws have not changed. When God sets morality in motion, it's still moral today. It's not thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt commit adultery. It's not thou shalt not steal and thou shalt steal. The moral, so you see the moral character of God throughout all the scripture. And now I will give them, theologians who, you know, Old Testament, there's God dealt with his people differently, and there's some truth to that for sure. But it's also interesting if you read Revelation. He says, come out of her, my people, from Babylon. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and receive of her plagues. Her stench has reached my nostrils in heaven. Metaphorically speaking in that regard, I paraphrase a little bit. And Babylon is judged. Nations are judged. So we see that there's some type of judgment when a nation, when a land becomes defiled by the sickness and the perversion of sin. Because Sodom and Gomorrah, that it was so perverted that God began to judge those nations. And he rained down the fire to wipe that out. What about before Noah? There's a defilement that comes in the land. And so here's the problem. Christians live in the midst of that. He doesn't put us on Jupiter for a while. I wish, don't you wish to utopia? But we go through that often. Jeremiah, read Lamentations. You want your heart to break? He's lamenting over a nation that drew away from God, that drifted from God, and he used foreign enemies to come in and judge them. Jeremiah, this prophet of God, mighty man of God, is weeping. Daniel, solid. He was led into the exile as well. Ezra was in exile coming back to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer, but he was sad. He said, and the king said, Nehemiah, why are you sad? He said, why should I not be sad when the place of my father's tombs lies in waste? And you see that God would judge and there would be his godly remnant would still be influenced or affected by that judgment. And so how does that all play out today? I don't have exact answers. I just know the character and nature of God. I know his principles, and I know it's not looking too great. Psalm 12, the wicked freely prayed and prance about while evil is praised throughout the land. In Isaiah's, in a commentary Bible I have for Isaiah, the commentator wrote this, must the remnant of righteous also suffer with the nation? And the reason we use the Old Testament is Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Well, did Isaiah say of you? Well, did Isaiah say of you? You see, but you don't really see. You hear, but you don't really hear. You draw nigh unto me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. He would talk about Jonah. He would pull in Moses. He would pull in, oh, haven't you read in the burning bush passage? Haven't you read in the, and he would pull in Old Testament. to their time. Paul said the Old Testament was written as an example that you might not lust after evil things like they lusted. Anybody who spends significant time in God's word, both the old and the new, they will understand that America is on very shaky ground. Bottom line. If all you're doing is reading John 3:16 in the morning, you might think differently. People, they have little Bible studies. Oh, I read this verse today. Have you ever read through the whole Bible? No, just this verse for today. Well, now that's good. Please grab a verse for the day. I do too. But that can't be your meal. That's the appetizer. That's a good thought for the day. Now look at the whole counsel of God, because the Bible makes, when people say, I don't understand it, one of the things I'm excited about is teaching through the Bible, and it seems God keeps postponing these things sometimes, but I want to show how it makes a lot of sense. But in our pride as a nation, we can often say, like Israel, when they were being judged, a nation came in and just tore down their buildings, and they said, but the bricks are destroyed, we will rebuild. We will rebuild. We don't care if God judged us. Even though they have torn down our sycamore trees, we will replant them with cedar. We will rebuild. It doesn't matter if God's judges. It doesn't matter. And what they do is they shake their fist in the face of God. And there's an arrogance about that. On this issue of judgment, do you know why we're called the Great Satan by Iran? I mean, it's obviously support for Israel, but America is referred to as the Great Satan. The reason is they get their information from Hollywood. They realize that we're the number one distributor of pornography in the world. Let me just read some of these things that happened in the last 4 years. Do you know what one of the fastest growing online businesses is in our nation? One of the fastest growing online businesses in America. Child sexual exploitation. Did you catch that? I'm going to put a number on the screen as well. This is how many visits one free porn site, the largest, received in 2019. Porn sites receive more traffic than Netflix, Twitter, and Amazon combined. Sex education, I've seen it, that they're teaching in our schools is more perverted than anything we've ever seen in our nation's history. The sexual perversion that they want to launch into your children and pass laws where they can change your sex without telling you. And you don't think the judgment hand of God is not due? Give me 4 more years and we'll be good. What happened the last 4 years? Why is this okay? Do you know what killed more people worldwide? The number one cause of death in the whole world last year. Anybody know? Abortion. 43 million. Worldwide, fill the Rose Bowl up 430 times. Number one cause of death in America is the slaughtering of our own children. And you're going to lecture me about 4 more years? Now, let me tell you, God's dealing with my heart. I wanted 4 years of Pompeo and Pence and Ben Carson. Tony Perkins, I know, at the Family Research Council, the guys on the president's advisory team, godly people in positions of office, the lady who was over the schools for the nation, very godly Christian woman. I wanted that, I desired that, but I begin to realize something's wrong here. They're thinking, doctors are proposing now to ban gender terms on birth certificates at the hospital. So I begin to just really realize, what are we doing? This is growing, okay? Okay, 4 more years of an administration that will protect the church, great. What about if 4 years of a difficulty brings the church to the altar? Think about it. Nobody comes to the altar, prayer meetings, worship mornings. The church is dead. I didn't come here to win a popularity contest. I came here to speak the truth. We need to wake up. That's what this is. This is a rude awakening that's happening in our nation, isn't it? A rude awakening precedes a great awakening. In order for God to get your heart, he's got to break it. I wrote this in an article you might have. The church as a whole has become comfortable. All-night prayer meetings have been exchanged for all-night Netflix binges. Powerful worship services where the Spirit of God is moving have been turned into 60-minute programs designed to entertain. We are measuring success by likes and followers rather than Christ-likeness and following Him. Any guess how many of these are in Christian homes? Could it be by the grace of God that we don't have four more years of pride and arrogance in our hearts? I know this is going to tick people off. I don't care. I'm not reading emails anymore. But somebody's got to say it, correct? If what I'm saying is wrong and unbiblical, tell me. Tell me. When God said, because of the sins of Manasseh, I'm going to judge the nation, the sins of Manasseh weren't compared to this filth. They would give their children to Molech, burn them alive. God says, what are you doing? This hasn't even entered my thoughts, but because of your giving your children to the gods of Molech, because you're perverted, my judgment is going to fall upon you. What makes us think we are any different? Because what I'm trying to do is get the church to break. Humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. In due time, He will exalt you. He says, church, cry out to me. Church, see your sin. See your depravity. See your wickedness. Stop being the church of Laodicea because you're miserable and weak and blind and naked. But come to me and I will give you refiner's fire. Just fall before my feet and cry out to Almighty God and say, God, save me and set me free and cleanse my heart. Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people with unclean lips. And the Spirit of God comes and He touches the coals of Jeremiah's words and He gives him this fire of God to call the nation to Him. Nothing has changed. He said, Jeremiah, go and to I send you, pull out, root out, destroy, and then rebuild. But we got to dig deep to rebuild. What do you do with a sick branch in a tree? You prune it. What do you do with an arrogant attitude? You break it. What do you do with a cracked foundation? We have a cracked foundation, don't we? God has to rebuild it. So I hope you hear my heart. I was praying for godly leadership. I was praying for legislation and leaders that protect the church. But I begin to wonder, what's it accomplishing here? If it breaks us and it humbles us, how many millions would come to know Christ? How many countless Christians are going to finally fully surrender their life and have the fire of God because of difficulty? And by the way, did you know that persecution is the normal for the church for 2,000 years? That's normal. I don't like it. I didn't say I liked it. I don't want it. But it's the norm of Christian church. Did you know Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace? Whoa, 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 Shane, come on. I'm going to have to call you on that one. No, you're not. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. Wait, He's a peacemaker. He's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Right, that day's coming. But right now He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I'm going to divide father and son, mother and daughter. Jesus said that. That's why you got to read all of the Bible. What's He talking about? It's crystal clear in context. The words of life, the words of Christ, the words of doctrine, the words of truth will divide families. Think about it. I have a pretty big extended family. Who's everyone in my big extended family upset at me? On the left. Everybody on the left does not like Shane Eidelman in my family. Why? Because of the truth of God's word. It will divide. It's a dividing aspect. But you can grow through difficulties. This can be a great season of growth because God uses difficulties to refine us. Zechariah 13, English Standard Version. He said, God said to the prophet, many of these guys were prophets. And this is interesting. If repentance isn't so important, think about this for a minute. If God doesn't really deal with nations anymore, this whole message, Shane, you're talking about, it's more for individuals, it doesn't deal with nations anymore. Why is the majority of the Old Testament written by major and minor prophets? What was a prophet's main job was to go and call the people back to God, to call the nation to repentance, to call political figures to repent. Did you know most of the prophets were political? Did you know that? It's like, you shouldn't be political. Well, what does that mean? They will go to kings and princes and leaders. If you want to get technical, Jesus got a little political with the religious leaders. Politics just means government, governing officials. They were the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He called them out, you whitewashed tombs. Oh, you look great on the outside, but you're dead in the inside. You're whitewashed tombs. You're a brood of vipers. I would love to see that sermon. I would just step back. Go, Jesus. You think he was quiet? You brood of vipers. You guys look nice, but you're whitewashed tombs. Oh, don't get me started. I could picture. Why? Because zeal for my house has eaten me up. These people are leading the people astray. I guarantee his nostrils are flared. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and no one knew his name except himself, and his name was the Word of God. He will judge the nations with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress in the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He's a warrior and king. He's a loving servant. I started to cry during that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Some of you need to hear that this morning. You need to stop playing games with God. So God will refine us. I will put this third into the fire. The two-thirds he judged, this third group he left, he said, I will refine them as one refines silver. They would place silver in hot fire, and all the impurities would come out. Isn't that true? That's why I often say become better, not bitter. Because when you go through fires, when you go through the refining process, you can get really jacked up too. Can I say that in church? Okay. But when you go through the refining fires, turn over to God. Not everyone does. They become bitter and angry. They pick up an old addiction, and they go right back into Satan's hands. But he says, if you allow the refining fire to have its purpose, then you will call upon me and I will answer. Listen, I can tell you as God is my witness that if you call upon that name, he will answer. Folks, he will always answer that call, a call from a broken and contrite heart, a heart that truly wants God. He will hear the cries of your heart. That call he will never cast away. That cry he will never put away. When he hears his child, no matter where they're at, crying out, saying, God, help me, I need you, he hears and he will deliver. He doesn't play games. And then God uses this to drive us to him. So emotional this morning. Come on, Shane. Baseball. Baseball. God's been breaking my heart. Many people have been putting too much emphasis, too much trust in politics. And it's important. Don't get me wrong. But my Lord, don't talk to me about politics until I see you on this altar on Sunday mornings. Fair deal? I don't want to hear criticism. I don't want to hear complaint until I see you on this altar. God's got to break us. And it hurts to be broken, doesn't it? Over the last 6 months, too, I had different ethnicities, different groups of people. I'll just tell you, I told Pastor Abram, I've had black friends and Hispanics and things just say that sometimes how I preach can hurt them if I don't understand their side of things. And that hurt, and I took it to the Lord and still taking it to the Lord. And that's why sometimes your emotions come in, you know, you wanna back the blue, but you don't understand this side of it, and those kind of things, or build a wall in immigration, but not understand the other side of it. And so trying to find that has been so hard, and not wanting to hurt people. It's a breaking process because pride says, nope, it's not me, it's your fault. All of us can learn from that. I remember I had one girl, she's about 3 years ago praying in the prayer room. She said, you know, I struggle with same-sex attraction, but every time I come here, you make me feel, you know, you beat me up with God's word. And I started to cry with her and pray with her. And it was so hard to find a balance because you want to encourage people in sin, but I can't encourage the agenda. See, I have to fight the agenda trying to indoctrinate our children. I have a very strong passion for that. And so when that comes off, people can take it the wrong way. Now, of course, we don't come up here and, how can I please you? How can I please you? Walking on eggshells. And even in your own lives, you have to have an amount of humility and be teachable. You see, if you feel their weight, you feel the pain, you understand where they're coming from. Have compassion. There's the word I've been looking for. Compassion. Understanding what a person is going through. So do not run from God's refining fire. And then John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, God takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, which would be most of us, correct? Most of us bear some fruit. Even that he prunes. Even that he prunes. Can you imagine if we went unpruned? What about if I'm coming up, this is 10 years of preaching, and I've never been pruned by God, I've never been critiqued, I'd be the most arrogant, foolish man you've ever met. So would you, correct? Isn't that chisel of God, that brokenness, that the spouse saying, you're not all that in a bag of chips? Do they still say that? I don't know. You know, but those that refining process of God humbling you and God humbling you and God breaking you. And that's why I get encouraged, because I could see the potentials there, that this is the potential to be one of the greatest awakenings that our nation has known. Nobody is revived and awakened and filled with the Spirit of God in arrogance. They all have to be broken and humbled. Just like, how do you get the perfume? Ask the flower. It's crushed. How do you get the olive oil? The olive is crushed. How do you get the grape is crushed? Same with us. The crushing and the refining and the breaking, and you come out of there stronger. That's why I love that song, Out of the Ashes, I Will Arise. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter where God has you, God will pull you up out of the ashes and set you up again if you commit your life to him and surrender. But the pruning process hurts. So let me just give you some scripture here to really help you navigate sovereignty. This is how we navigate sovereignty. This is how we trust in sovereignty, because a lot of us were counting on certain things to happen. And, you know, we may have a wake-up call here shortly. The first one is comfort. Anyone need comfort this morning? Are you afraid? When I'm afraid, it says, look at that. When I'm afraid, I will put some of my trust in God. Is everybody following along now? All right, when I'm afraid, I will put most of my trust in God. My trust, all, everything. You know what that means? Finances, health. The big thing for parents right now is, what kind of nation are we leaving for our kids or grandkids? Amen? Or is that just me? Am I being too transparent? But I'm putting them in your hands, because they're not your grandkids, they're your kids. And we put our trust, okay, Lord. Here's the deal. Let's just be honest. Somebody told me, but Shane, you know, all this, you could get killed for it. I'm like, yeah, I'll go see Jesus quicker. What's your point? What can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to you? Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill your body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul in hell. Where's that fear now? We fear man more than God. We fear the vaccine more than God. Many fear Bill Gates more than God Almighty. Now, I don't like this guy, but I'm not going to fear him more than God Almighty. That's who we need to fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning and understanding. God will not be mocked.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
He's cool.